couple of things I learned in the news this past week. It was the best and the worst place to be a mother. The best place was in Norway. Once you bear a child, no matter what your job is, your responsibility, you get 1 year off, full pay. You have plenty of instruction from the government, from the agencies that are set aside to help you to nurture that child. And then it said the worst place to be a mother is in Afghanistan. At war, civil war, corruption, full of it. But yet, whether a mother is in the best place or the worst place, her responsibility is the same. And this day, it's easy to take credit to be a mother. Some days, it is not so easy. Read an article in the Kansas City Star about one mother's stand. And with her oldest child, he was shirking his responsibilities. And she told him, one day you're going to grow up to be a bum, and you're going to stand on the corner, and you're going to hold up a sign that you are willing to work for food, but not very hard. And she said it was the worst day of her life. And she continues to reflect upon that day and think back what a terrible thing she instructed her son with. And when she uttered those words, she said it was like that she hit him in the face. She thought he was going to cry. He went to his room and he may well have cried that day. And where is he today? He's a sophomore in Northwest University, a journalism major. He's been the editor of the school paper for a year and a half. He's been chosen to be the journalist of the year. And he reminds his mother of that day that she told him he was going to be a bum. But in the back of her mind, I imagine she remembers what inspired her. And she said it was the worst day of her life. But looking back, reflecting upon that moment, certainly it may have been her best day as a mother. And mothers bear tears, mothers bear a great many responsibilities in raising their children. Helen Steiner Rice, a mother's love is a haven in storms of life. A mother's love is like an island in life's ocean vast and wide, a peaceful, quiet shelter from the wrestling rising tide. A mother's love is like a fortress, and we seek protection there when the waves of tribulation seem to drown us in despair. A mother's love is a sanctuary where our souls can find sweet rest from the struggle and the tension of life's vast and futile quest. A mother's love is like a tower rising far above the crowd, and her smile is like the sunshine breaking through a threatening cloud. A mother's love is like a beacon burning bright with faith and prayer, and through the changing scenes of life, we can find a haven there. For a mother's love is fashioned after God's enduring love. It is timeless and unfailing like the love of Him above. For God knew in His great wisdom that His love should be everywhere. So He put His little children in a loving mother's care. And that poem sums up what a mother means to each and every one of us as we look back and reflect. A couple of years ago, I had a barber ask me, is your mother still alive? And I was happy to say yes, and still to this day, she is. And when she is alive, and a great number of our mothers are, even though we have gray hairs. We know we are never alone in this world. There is that shelter that Helen Steiner Rice talks about, that place of comfort, that smile that radiates like the sunshine. But in time, the passing of time, our mothers go the way of all flesh, and they pass away. But when that happens, are we ever truly alone? In Miss Rice's poem, she spoke about the enduring love of the Lord Jesus Christ, as our mother's love is also. And I'd like to bring to our attention some scriptures that reflect the love of Christ and talk about the love of our mothers. I'd like to turn to Romans, the 8th chapter, and look at verse 20. Romans 8, verse 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. And it is the Lord Jesus Christ that chose to create each and every one of us and subject us to the world. We gained our entrance into this world, to the vanity, the temptation, the choices that are in this world. But he did so with hope in who we might become in time. And he had an eye to our growth, an eye to our future. And in that, he had a hope in who we could become. And I wonder about our mothers with the very first things that happen in our life. First time we cried, being born. First time we were able to roll over and to gain a whole new perspective on the world. Either from looking at the bed up into the ceiling or vice versa, to gain that freedom and that mobility. Taking our first step. And what a joy that must have been for our mother, knowing that we had gained the freedom of mobility. But it was also a problem for her. I've seen children barely walking that a mother could hardly keep up with, and the mess they make. I've seen an older grandfather complaining about putting utensils back in the bottom drawers while they were babysitting. It's hard to keep up with children. But yet, the mother has brought them into the world, and she looks forward to that future, that growth, that building up the character that is there. First bicycle. It may have been your father that ran up and down the street and you gained your balance, but it was your mother that stood in the front lawn and prayed that all would go well. I can remember that first time. First time you went to school. Joyfully? Probably not. Complaining? I'm sure. With a tear in your eye? But yet your mother was able to part with your hand because she knew in school you would gain and grow. Driver's license. A car. Freedom to go and to come. Hopefully as we pleased as a teenager. But within the confines, the law of the household. And that time that we left the nest for the first time, what did a mother fear? What did she see? What did she feel? Pretty much the same love that Christ bears for you and I, subjecting us to the world that we might grow in him. Our mothers prayerfully did the same for us. I'd like to turn in the Book of Mormon, 3 Nephi, chapter 8. 3 Nephi chapter 8 and verses 1 through 26. Speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ coming to His people after He had been crucified, laid down His life that they might live. And He began to teach the people and to instruct the people to show them the rightness of the way that was in Him. And He showed His hands that bore the nail prints. And they were allowed to touch that they might know for themselves. Spoke of the healing and the comfort and the peace that they were able to glean from a Savior that loved them enough to die for them and for you and I. And then I think back to our mothers. When we were hurt, who did we turn to first? Well, in my case, certainly not my brother. I would have received no consolation there. My mother. Some of her first reactions were precious. I can remember when I broke my arm. She laughed. A nervous laughter. I can remember when I skidded down the basement stairs, which were wooden stairs, and the only way I could keep from falling forward was to lean back upon my shins backwards, and I took the hide off. Her first reaction, to laugh. It broke the tension. It didn't hurt quite as much for a while, and we laughed together. But a mother is able to take a hurt and to comfort, to bring peace, and in time a healing. Mothers, I think, are instruments of Jesus Christ, put here to comfort when we physically hurt, when we spiritually are weak. They're here to help us along the way. 3 Nephi chapter 5. And verses 14 and 15. And it came to pass that the Lord spake unto them, saying, Arise and come forth unto me, that ye may thrust your hands into my side, and also that ye may feel the prints of the nails on my hand. And in my feet, that ye may know that I am the God of Israel, and the God of the whole earth, and have been slain for the sins of the world. And the multitude went forth one by one, and was able to experience and to know that for themselves. Christ experienced life. All that we are subject to. And He had a mother. And from His mother, He certainly learned, as we did, morals, what is right, what is wrong, to keep ourselves clean, good manners, how to take care of ourselves day by day, physically, temporally, but most of all spiritually. He had a good mother that pointed him in the right direction, and he knew where he came from. But yet he honored the efforts of this earthly mother, as we should. Our mothers come from varied backgrounds. Best place in Norway, the worst place in Afghanistan, but yet they have the same commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. to raise, to nurture, to strengthen their children, to prepare them for the world. Mosiah, the 11th chapter. Mosiah 11 and verses 59 through 65. And Alma and his people did not raise their voices to the Lord their God, but did pour out their hearts to him. And he did know the thoughts of their hearts. And Alma and his people were subjected to taskmasters and not allowed to even pray out loud to the God that they loved. But they prayed in their heart. And they prayed with all the energy of that heart. And of that prayer, and of that faith, there was support. The Lord said that as you look to me in faith, I will make all your load, your work, light. And he did it. He lightened their load, and their faith was encouraged. Their faith grew, and they kept praying to the Lord, and the Lord said, I will deliver you from bondage. But yet, they bore upon their back their work. There was a yoke. There was a bondage. And our mothers were able to teach us that in the same way. Each of us had to learn to stand upon our own. And Steve, in my case, schoolwork, merit badges in scouting, chores, mowing, gardening, doing the dishes, ironing clothes. But yet our mother supported us. Helped us when we fell behind. Didn't deliver us from the work, but they made it lighter as we gained the experience. And the Lord Jesus Christ says that we should come to him in faith, because that support, that deliverance in time is in him. Matthew, the 26th chapter. Matthew 26 and verses 36 through 43. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And they sat. And Christ went and prayed to the Father in faith. For he knew his mission. He knew what he was to suffer. He knew what he was to give up to receive. And when he came back, the disciples slept. The cares, the physical fatigue, the hard walk, the long day, they went to sleep. And they were there for all the right reasons, but yet they slept. And Christ loved them just the same. And I think back to our mothers, the sacrifice they make for us day by day, year by year, not just until we're grown and out of the house, but it continues in smaller ways, but yea, ways that are yet hard on them. And Christ gave up to receive. Our mothers give up to receive. And we, if we receive the instruction well, in receiving, we learn how to give back. Because it continues with each generation that passes. I'd like to read another small piece by Donna Moser. And it's entitled Experience in Duplicate. She waited there in that dark place, and I want you to think about what dark place it was as her mother carried her before she was yet born. She waited there in that dark place, snug, well-nourished and secure, enwrapped by presence without faith. One in life was hers and comfort sure. And when the time came she must leave, I think perhaps she felt to grieve. Then birth. That wonder touched her heart. Adam fell that men might be, men are, that they might have joy. She was loved, she grew, she cared. Life was good on this old earth. She found ways to serve. She shared the bitter times and sweet, the mirth. And then the hour when she must go came close on ever swifter feet. She trembled. Then she came to know that death is only birth repeat. Adam fell, that men might be. Men are that they might have joy. Our mothers are with us but for a time. And it goes by quick. But yet, the values, the instruction, the love that they instill within us lasts our lifetime. But as that piece by Donna Moser speaks, it goes from generation to generation until the Lord Jesus Christ comes to claim his own. Our mothers taught us how to forgive, how to be strong, how to be clean, and how to be pure. And it is the Lord Jesus Christ that instructs our mothers and continues to instruct us. And we celebrate creation through our mothers, through the Lord Jesus Christ. We celebrate nurturing that they are able to give us as Christ has shown them. We celebrate our growth physically, mentally, temporally, spiritually, that our mothers were able to instill within us and Christ is able to use. We celebrate our purpose here on the earth. Generation to generation. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. The apostle of old wrote to our brother Timothy, reminding him that what he held within his breast was placed there by his mother and his grandmother also, and their continued efforts. And he was convinced that what was there was of Jesus Christ. One last poem. When I must leave you, when I must leave you for a little while, please do not grieve and shed wild tears. And hug your sorrow to you through the years, but start out bravely with a gallant smile. And for my sake and in my name, live on and do all things the same. Feed not your loneliness on empty days, but fill each waking hour in useful ways. Reach out your hand in comfort and in cheer, and in turn, and I in turn will comfort you and hold you near. And never, never be afraid to die, for I am waiting for you in the sky. Whether a mother's wishes or the Lord Jesus Christ, they're one and the same. The love, the growth, the building up, the holding close. I'm going to leave you with one last thought. Sometimes the smallest things take up the most room in our hearts. From our mothers to our mothers. Sometimes the smallest things take up the most room in our hearts. You know who said that? Winnie the Pooh. And I thank you.